Hello, friends, and welcome to a brand new episode of Snap Judgments, the official podcast of Marvel Snap Zone. You will note that I am Glazer, not Roy. I am joined today by the one and only, the legendary Den. It is just the two of us for the top 10 decks of the Loki season. Roy had to do work things for the evening and is not home. So we're going to carry on to go over the top 10 decks of the Loki season. How you doing, Den?
I'm doing great, but as usual, it's very late, but I've enjoyed the previous ones very much, so this time shouldn't be different.
We're going to find out whether it was me or Roy you enjoyed, and like if it's not, next time it'll just be you and Roy. How can our guests find you?
Mostly on Twitter and Marvel Snap Zone. Twitter is where I share decks every day, try to keep up with the metagame while not giving too much information. And Marvel Snap Zone is where the big articles are being published, where there's much more information, trying to tell a little bit of a story every time with what is happening in the game. And then if you're French, I have a YouTube channel, but I'm not sure you have a lot of French speakers listening to you. Our English is unfortunately not good enough for that.
So what we'd like, though, is there's subtitles on YouTube, and last episode, our listeners were like, we will put on subtitles for drunk early morning Den. So we're going to have to put that in the show notes.
Sounds great. I mean, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, I will be watching, too. I'm very excited for this. All right. Before we get to our topics for the day, you can find us, and I'm not going to do the whole Roy spiel of everywhere you can find us. We're on Twitter. We're at SnapJudgeCast. I'm on Twitter all the time. We're on the Marvel Snap Zone Discord. It's awesome there. It's super supportive. You'll get like tons of Marvel Snap personalities answering your questions. We have a little corner called Podcast Hang with the Host, which really just means kind of hang with me. But we've built a really, really cool community there, and like, everyone helps everyone. Everyone's super encouraging. It's awesome. And I post daily videos on YouTube with 2 to 3 decks a day and massive giveaways and all sorts of good stuff. That's Snap Judgments Pod right here on YouTube. And if I'm smart enough to remember to do this when Roy uploads this, I will have the little thingy in the top corner that tells us that tells you where you can subscribe. So if you're willing, it helps us out and we'd appreciate it. To the topics. First up, we've got a brand new card. We've got Ravonna Renslayer, Series 4, 3,000 tokens. Ongoings. Your cards with 1 or less power cost 1 less. Minimum 1. What do you think, Den?
I think this card is being judged extremely harshly because she's in September. And September has some incredible cards. I mean, the two we already got to play with have been extremely strong. And so I feel like everyone expects every card to be as good as Aliot or as Loki. They can't make every card as good as these two. And also, Ravonna is probably the hardest one to build a deck around. I mean, Loki found this deck, I want to say day one, but I felt like it was second one.
No, it was the first day. Safety had it, yeah. Literally. It was in the article.
And Aliot also, like, everyone saw Galactus, and then we also found the card works with Wave, the card works with Control Deck, where you can storm Professor X, limit where the opponent can play. Ravonna is much more difficult, I think, to figure out. Like, I've seen interesting ideas being thrown around. I haven't seen anything feel as good as what people would like to, but I kind of like having those kind of challenges sometimes, because if cards are solved on day one, then the only question is, are they fun to play with, yes or no? Mm. Sometimes it's good to spend like 3, 4, 5 days to just build around the card. And although we have a leaderboard this month, Marvel Snap is still a not competitive game for 99.9% of players. So a card that is challenging to build around can actually be a fun card for a lot of people.
I think she's better than people are giving her credit for. I just don't think it's immediately obvious how she's powerful, right? Like, it doesn't take a lot of brain power to, once Alioth happens, to recognize that, like, oh, I just destroyed a bunch of cards. That was good. It doesn't take a lot of power to, once you play Loki, to then just play all the cards in your hand, because you can dump everything and watch collector's numbers go vroom, right? Like, I'm not trying to be rude to either of those decks or their players. I play both of those too. But Ravonna doesn't do the big splashy thing. It's more subtle. and you have to build for it. And she's not like Sarah, where it's -1 to your whole deck. It's -1 to a part of your deck that you have to draw in the right order. All of that said, they made, I don't know if y'all know this, listeners, but they made Rockslide a 3-3. So Ravonna is really good with Darkhawk now. Because Darkhawk is still a 4-0. And like, it turns out, now if Mystique costs 2, Mystique is kind of busted. And like, a 4-cost Hobgoblin is backbreaking for opponents when they're not ready for it. Like, there's just a lot of crazy, crazy powerful things you can do with Ravonna. You can double her up with Zabu, or I don't suggest Zabu, more likely Sarah, for at least, you know, until Mobius destroys the meta. So, like, there's all these interesting things you can do. She's really good in various Patriot shells. Like, I think she's an interesting and powerful card. Like, if this was last, or 2 months, no, if this was last month, like, I don't, she's around the same level, like, she's a little worse than X23, she's probably around the same level as the Silver Samurai Dakins of the world, and the month before, was Legion, right? So, like, I think she's better than everything that released that month but Legion. She's as good as Echo, she's as good as Mirage, she's as good as Jean Grey. Like, just stop being a prisoner of the moment's context, right? Like, she's good, she's just not broken, and good cards that will be better as the game goes on, they will make more 0/1 cost cards, are good for the game.
I think that's the biggest point with Ravonna is, I mean, low-key Aliyah are extremely good right now, but we don't know if the 1 or 2 synergy these cards have are going to be long-lasting. Ravonna probably has the most like wide impact on the game. I mean, yes, now there might not be 0 or 1 power cards which are completely breaking the game, but they just need to release one and everyone's going to be like, where are my 3,000 tokens? I forgot to pick up Ravonna when she released. So it's a card that you need to, it's kind of a bank. Like, you need to invest on the future for this one. But in the spotlight system, it feels like cards worth 3,000 tokens, if you have the tokens, they're almost all worth picking up, because worst case, you're going to spend a day or two trying to build around it and you might have fun doing it. Best case, they're going to buff it in a couple months and suddenly you have a game-breaking card.
I mean, make Zabu a 2-1 and watch this thing's value shoot through the roof. Right? Like, that's it. That's all it needs. Like, could you imagine if Zabu were a 2-1 with this as a 3-3? And then you could go Zabu and Darkhawk on 4 and then still have a bunch of other 4s you could play? That's crazy.
Yeah, that would give you another chance at playing Zabu, while now if you don't get it on 2, it's difficult to fit in the curve. And whatever, there are a ton of other cards they could print. And I don't have all the cards in mind right now, but I think in the future, like, October and November cards are like extremely flavorful. I think they're pretty high power, but they're extremely flavorful. So the more time passes, the more they're going to have to be creative with abilities, because otherwise they're just going to release cards which are the same. Yep. The thing is, the more creative you get with an ability, the more you have to use power as the counterbalance, which means the more time passes, the more likely we are to actually have low power cards. Because, I mean, if a card is good at 10 power, this is a random number, you can't just print cards at 10 power all the time, because otherwise we're going to be bored and we're going to be like, this is just like the other card. The big difference in Marvel Snap is the ability printed on the card. And the better the ability, the lower the power. The lower the power, the more chances Ravonna actually gets played.
So the two best cards in the history of the game, and then I guess we can move on unless you have a further thought. The two best cards in the history of the game with Ravonna were both Season Pass cards and both nerfed, right? Like, Ravonna plus Surfer, the original Surfer, would have been completely crazy. And Ravonna plus the original Hitmonkey would have been completely crazy. It just so happens that those cards were completely insane and ended up nerfed. But, like, that's the kind of power we're looking at. I just consider the power of a 3-cost card that gives you a 1-cost Hitmonkey or a 2-cost Surfer. The deck would go completely crazy. It would take over the meta. That kind of card happens. It will happen again. Ravonna will be great.
I don't agree with the Hitmonkey being better than Zebu ever, but yes, to the rest.
The best cards with Ravonna, not the best cards.
Oh, that with Ravonna, I thought ever. Yeah,
they were the best cards that have, as far as my knowledge, in the game's history, been printed for Ravonna.
I'm trying to think about better stuff, but nothing comes to mind right now.
All right. Any Loki or
There was a time Dino was a zero power card.
Okay, fair enough. That would be
Dino
insane.
Was a 4-0 or 3-0 at some point in the game.
I mean, that's just Darkhawk again, though, no? I guess it's easier Darkhawk.
Yeah, it was better Darkhawk. I mean, the first ever patch in the game was Moon Girl, Dino, and Nova getting demolished because there was a pool one deck that was taking over the game.
Fair enough. All right, do you have any Loki or Alioth thoughts, or would you rather save them for when we do top 10 decks? Because both will feature prominently.
I mean, Loki has not changed with the collector nerf. I mean, a 2-cost that is routinely an 8 or a 10 is just as good as a 2-cost that is routinely a 10 or a 12. I mean, yeah. Angela was a 2-2 at some point. We're still playing her. Collector was a 2-2 at some point. Still playing him. Morbius, I'm going to have a lot of problems with these 2-cards, letting you know right now. Morbius still sees a ton of play in Discord. Kraven took a little bit of time, but now it's really going to move. 2-costs, which have the ability to go past 5 or 6 power and have a deck, they're not going to go away. The deck is Loki. The deck is not Collector. So as long as Loki feels like a good card, Collector is going to be played 2-2 or 2-0. Doesn't change a thing, in my opinion. And for Alioth, I think if you don't like Galactus, which I think a lot of people don't, that doesn't mean Alioth is bad. I mean, mm-hmm. I've seen extremely creative thing with Alioth. I've seen Alioth move. I've seen Alioth slotted in a lot of decks with Wave and Doom because people realize if you can only play one card, you actually have a 33% chance to tell your opponent, I'm going to cancel your turn 6. There's a lot of things to do with Alioth past Galactus deck. So I really like the way the card has developed and actually didn't just stay, I'm a Galactus friend and Galactus is going to take over, because I think people would have just lost their mind after a week of Loki, just go to a week of Galactus. That was way too much for a lot of people. So I just love the fact that there's a lot of things to do with the card. And I think we're not done with it at this point. I think there's still a couple decks that we could explore with it.
So Alioth keeps beating me because I keep forgetting it exists. I mentally run through my checklist of things that beat me. And I'm like, oh, there's nothing in the game that stops me here if I go wide in this exact way. And then they drop Alioth in one of those places. And I'm just like, right, that's a card now. I should remember that that's a card now. I'm like, well, I don't have priority. I'm not worried about Shang. Like, yeah. Yeah. But whatever. That's fine. That's part of the game. My brain will adjust at some point, right?
Eventually, after we get our butt kicked by like 100 times and lost 1,000 cubes, eventually your brain is going to be like, all right, I want to stop losing to this card now.
That's the thing I like least about it, just for the record. I don't like that it doesn't care about priority.
Well, it does care about priority, because if you don't have priority with Alioth, there are cards which can counter it. Like, you could get Armored Cosmo, Professor X, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think 5 power was actually a lot for that ability.
Yes, it is.
And some people have mentioned he might get leadered eventually.
6-2.
I think Alioth as a 6-2 still has a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. I mean, could honestly, if you have priority, Alioth could be a 6-0. It'd still be worth it most of the time. So yeah, I think Alioth is great. Maybe too powerful. But I think we need to get past the point where people are just super frustrated with the ability itself, which says you're not playing. And that probably will happen once we get like the other cards in the month. I'm pretty sure Morbius is going to make a lot of noise and we're going to forget a little bit about the other cards for like maybe not so long, but that'll give us a different way of evaluating them when they're not like 15% of the meta.
So, like, I've only ever been frustrated twice in the history of the game. Some people spend a lot of their time frustrated with the game. I'm curious about you. I was frustrated when Zebu went on too long because, God, was who drew Zebu?
Like a month? Was it a month?
It was a month and a half. It was a month and a half. But that, like, the first month I was fine, right? Like, I was just like, all right, it's new. I'll give it time. And then that extra half month when every game was just, are you playing Surfer or who drew Zebu on 3? And it was just, it was frustrating. And I didn't like when they nerfed everything, but including Arrow, and then Galactus sort of took over. I thought that was obnoxious.
Okay, I'm trying to think. I've been frustrated, like, overall, like RNG or stuff like individual I don't like, stuff. But I'm trying to think about a meta game. I think the worst meta game was in the beta days. The old school negative Serra deck back when negative was 4/4. That deck was really annoying because back then you didn't have a lot of choice. You were facing bots or a lot of the same players. And right now, like with the diversity, I understand why it's frustrating that you're facing always the same deck. But the thing is, at least it's not the same name. I don't know why it would be more frustrating, but when you face always the same player and they know you're not playing the busted deck, when they are playing the busted deck, you just get auto-snapped on one all the time. And there is no logical reason to auto-snap someone on one except, well, I beat you 3 times already.
Yeah.
And I know you're just going to auto-retreat because you're just afraid I might have the nuts once more. And that's the kind of point where I was... It's not even the deck is broken. It's I don't even want to play at this point. The person is snapping me on one. I just want to uninstall right there. That was probably a frustrating part for me.
I dig that. All right, let's keep going then. We had an OTA. We don't have to go through all these cards. I'm going to read them, but just talk about anything you think is interesting. Shadow King is now a 2/3. Lady Sif is a 3/5. Spider-Ham is a 1/1. Black Cat is a 4/9. And they made Collector a 2/0, and we already have noted that does not matter.
Yeah, I think, like, apart from Collector, which we already talked about, I expected to see many, many more Shadow Kings, and I'm not saying that much of it.
Yep.
It might be because Galactus and Alioth are much more popular than Loki. Loki's picking up. He's going to be back. Don't worry about it. Like, more people are going
to pick up worried on the fact that
it's still a really, really good deck. But I was expecting a lot more of Shadow King, and I actually haven't faced one in the past week. I mean, I was on a trip the past week, so we're talking about like 10 games a day max just for quests. But I don't recall facing Shadow King since the OTA. Well, I would think he would just replace Shang-Chi with that OTA, at least for a little bit. So that has me very curious. And otherwise, I really, really like the change to Black Cat. I think... I didn't think it was possible to make a card that never saw play, basically, like, apart from people who never played Ella and they tried it in it, and then they would say it to someone else, oh, I'm playing Black Cat, and then that someone else would explain to them why you should play something else in the deck. Black Cat was not seeing play. And I didn't think you could fix that with numbers, and they actually did it. And I'm starting to see and playing myself, like, much more of Black Cat, Ghost Rider kind of things. So that was a massive change. I think this change just shows that although we don't agree with everything, the people in charge, they know what they're doing with the game.
So I have an off Lady Sif thought. I think that, like, there's almost never reason to play Swordmaster anymore.
I do agree that Swordmaster has felt very, very lackluster. I mean, the reason is you already have Lady Sif.
Yeah, it's at one power difference. When it was two, I could understand sometimes, right? But at one, like, it just feels wrong.
Unless you don't want it to be the highest card in your hand, but, I mean, Apocalypse exists, so you probably want to.
Like, in a Hela deck, I guess you can make the case for Swordmaster, but at that point, you're probably running Gambit.
You're probably running Gambit, or you're probably running Death, so you just solve the problem.
Yeah.
And back to Sif.
I think Swordmaster might need a redesign is basically what I'm getting at, because I don't think we need another targeted discard right now. And, like, unless you're going to make him a 3/8, which seems like excessive, right? Or a 3/7, which also seems excessive.
I mean, it could be a 3/7 because we have Maximus, but...
Even then.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that all the discards are kind of different. Like, Blade is a targeted, Sif is a targeted, Gambit has an effect, Moon Knight has an effect. So maybe they have an effect that they haven't explored yet that they could give to Swordmaster. Like, I don't know. Like, we have Rightmost. Maybe we can get Leftmost.
Okay, I could live with that. The other change I really like, I think that I hated Spider-Ham as a 2 with the new ability, but as a 1 with the new ability, he's fantastic.
I haven't tried it so much. I didn't have time to test a lot of things. A lot of people have told me like that change was much more like important for the car that many would have thought. Like it actually, yeah. I think I've seen a little bit of bounce. So I guess Spider-Ham probably was in that deck.
So it's also just that like the 50% cheaper means you can just fit him in while you're doing other things. You play slightly off curve for a turn, right? And you're just like, well, I have an extra energy. Let's get rid of a card in their hand. That's really powerful. Two energy is, I mean, exponentially, literally, harder to come by than one energy. So, like, even if not on turn one, just him is better.
Agreed.
All right. Enough OTA. Also, yeah, people should play Shadow King. Put Shadow King in your deck. All right. Last time we did this, our top 10, we're not going to talk about this. I just thought it would be interesting for people. We're doing this just about once a month, usually on the skip week for OTA, so that we're not doing this and then the meta immediately shifts under us. But the top 10 last time we did this was number 10, Destroyer, number 9, Thanos Death, number 8, Lockjaw, not even evolved. Number 7, Surfer Patriot, and that we were a little ahead of the curve. That was when everyone still thought that was the Broodmead deck that no one thought was anything, and like it had just appeared, and we were like, that deck's going to be a problem. It's going to be toward the top. And it ended up having like 2 weeks as the number one.
You got nerfed too.
Yeah, people stop playing everything that's nerfed, and they need to stop because that's still one of the... Well, we'll get there. All right, number 5 was Darkhawk Good Stuff. Number 4 was Shuri. Number 3 was the Inshinaunt, which I believe had just added Leech. Number 2 was Surfer. And number 1 was Move Legion. And I think the list is going to be like 70% different this time, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, I think there's several decks that are going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But just like last time, I think it was... At least 8, 9, and 10 can be debatable through a ton of decks. And yeah, there's going to be change. At least in the top 5, 6. No, yeah, there's going to be change, actually. Yeah, a lot of changes.
Yeah. All right. So I did this on my own this time because it's just the two of us and Den has been traveling. So I have 5 decks surely as top 10. That should say 10. It will by the time you guys see the show. Everyone is top 1. All 5 are top 1. We got 5 number 1. We did not agree on 7. Apparently, I just didn't edit this slide and I thought I did. We're going to go through number 6 through number 10 and figure them out, and then we'll go through the other 5. So number 6 through number 10 is going to be like 12 different decks we're going to very, very quickly discuss and rank to eliminate. Ready for the wild card?
Let's do this.
All right. These are the wild card decks I picked. I'm not sure any of these make the top 10. I'm just going to read them quickly. We'll be going through them one by one with deck examples. You'll have to check the show notes or watch on Marvel Snap Zone's YouTube for the deck examples to actually see the deck. Otherwise, we'll just be speaking to them. We've got Cerebro 3/5, Deathpool, Discard/Dracula Discard, call it what you want, Good Card Stature, Inshinaunt, and I know Den is going to try and make me put that on the list, Junk, Lockjaw Evo, Move Alioth, Patriot/Broodme, Sarah, the standard Sarah, I don't care if you call it Miracle or Control or whatever, Sarah Surfer, Thanos Lockdown. Sound good?
Okay. Question.
Yeah.
Is Move Alioth instead of Move Legion, or are you considering these two different decks?
I think it's instead of Move Legion at this point.
So that means you're not putting Move Legion in the top 10 either?
Correct.
Okay, I'm not going to fight for Inshinaunt, but I'm going to fight for that one.
Okay, look, we can add it.
I'd rather fight for that one than for Inshinaunt. There's another deck I want to fight for, but the reality is I only have the numbers. I didn't have time to try it myself.
I'm going to show you
the Cerebro 5.
Cerebro 5 is on there as a potential. So I just want to show you the top 5 that I thought were definitely the 5. I don't see a world in which these 5 don't make it, and then we'll go on. The 5 that I'm
ordered?
No, alphabetically always until we order them. So Evolve Doomwave, Galactus, Loki, Ramp, and Shuri/Shuri Katie. I'm not breaking those two decks apart. They're the same damn thing.
Ramp is Electro Ramp?
Ramp is Electro Ramp. Mm-hmm.
I'm so gone. I want this deck to be out of top 20.
Really?
All right. I want this deck to be out of Marvel Snap. I want this to consider it a Hearthstone deck because it's so bad.
All right. Well, we'll get there. I think it's a top five deck. We'll get there. Okay. So now let's take a look at Cerebro 3. Do you think Cerebro 3 has a real claim to being the top five? And I have two versions here. I have your version, which runs Gambit and Blade, and then the classic version, which fundamentally runs Magic and Shang-Chi instead.
Well, my version was, I think it's a little outdated because I've been playing Professor X in the Discord build for very long now.
Really?
But it's okay.
This is the last one Professor X is
really, really good.
Okay.
But that's completely fine. I mean, we're talking about archetypes, not precise 12 cards. I think Cerebro 3 shouldn't be in the top 10, except if you consider Loki to be top one by a mile, like before the nerf to Collector. And it might be still true. It's just, if the popularity isn't there, Cerebro 3 isn't worth it. But I think Cerebro 3 isn't good enough in a wide environment where he has to fade a lot of opponent. But if you have like 20% of Loki, this deck is top 10.
I can see that.
I just don't think there is 20% of Loki right now, so I don't think it's in top 10.
Agree. The numbers are not showing 20% Loki, so we're probably not going to end up having it on the list. But if you just don't want to lose to Loki, pick a version of this and play it. You will be Loki. All right. Cerebro 5. You want Cerebro 5 on the list. Present your case. It's obviously above Cerebro 3, then. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, my case is very simple. My case is the numbers are incredible with this deck. I can't explain it yet because that was actually the deck I was going to work on tomorrow. I didn't have time to play enough to have a reasonable idea. But if we're talking pure cube rate, this deck is challenging for top three. And the second thing, and this one is a real argument, is the fact that it's very, very easy to play at most levels of play compared to a lot of decks. I mean, you could play this as just a point slam deck, and it's kind of easy to pick up. And I think one of the reasons why Shuri has been doing so well for so long is also because it's kind of in that same idea of play stuff. And the move synergy is really, really good. I don't really know why we have Jean Grey in this deck because it's not a five, and I don't think Alioth is enough to just make Jean Grey worth it.
It's Alioth and Wave. So I've been playing with both. Sorry, I played like, I don't know, I played 15 to 20 games with this, which isn't a huge sample, but I've also played it against it a fair bit. I've played with Jean, Stegron, and Enchantress. And I've liked Jean best. And the reason I've liked Jean best is because the secret to this deck is you don't always care about Cerebro.
Okay.
If you're dropping 15 power in a lane and forcing them to play in a different lane, and then you can just Alioth or Doom, you win.
Okay. I can see that.
Like if you Jean, then Wave, like you go 4-5 Jean Wave, right? Or you go Jean on three, and then you go Silk and Lizard, and then you go Wave, and your opponent hasn't filled that location, the game is over. There's nothing they can do.
Okay. I was afraid because we don't have a one and we don't have like a super hot start overall, Jean wouldn't be enough points. But as I said, I didn't have enough time to test it yet, so I'll trust you on it.
I mean, look, Stegron is also great. I haven't liked Enchantress. A lot of people are running Enchantress in the build. I have not liked
it. Yeah, I don't get Enchantress either. Like if I was to play a card, it would have been Stegron.
I'm fine with Stegron. Stegron is one of the most underrated cards in the game. It's extremely strong. But I think what took me a little bit was I kept prioritizing Cerebro over good plays and just like getting points on the board. And sometimes you want to do that. But like if you're not double twoing, you just don't go wide enough really for Cerebro to super matter.
I agree.
So also, by the way, this is almost certainly top 10. This deck is freaking phenomenal.
To me, it's easy top 10. And personally, I would put it ahead of Electro Ramp if I was doing the rankings myself.
Well, let's get there. Let's get there. It's early on. We could see. Next up, we have Deadpool Destroy. This deck still has a 60% win rate. Someone's going to have to explain to me how.
Because it's a really, really good deck.
Yeah, but armor is everywhere.
That's the thing. That's where it's scary. But I think armor lost a bit of popularity lately because of Loki and stuff like that. I think Alioth brought armor a little back. Like the first week of the season with Loki, armor lost a bit of popularity. And the other thing is, But I'm not sure how it works, because some people told me now that we have Shadow King, there's no point to run armor because you don't need to prevent Shang-Chi. But actually, I'm seeing the other way around. I mean, I have Shadow King, so actually I can play armor in my deck and it's not going to bother me. And I mean, as long as they don't make armor a 2-2, as soon as I need a 2-drop and I already have Jeff, I'm probably putting armor second, just in case. Because, I mean, it's just giving me cubes in many matchups, so why not take them? But yeah, I mean, Deadpool Destroy is finding a way to still be relevant. It's far from being as relevant as it could be, considering how many cards he has to deal with. But the fact that we're just discussing it when it feels like the metagame has been trying to counter it for more than 2 months means that it's a good deck.
Put it ahead of Cerebro 3 for now and behind Cerebro 5, and we'll see how it ends up. Okay. Discard Dracula. So I am the biggest discard Dracula hater in the world, but it has to be top 10.
I think since the Blade change, I've seen a lot of lists, and I really, really like Silver Samurai. So I'm completely biased towards Silver Samurai. Just on honest disclaimer, when I see a list with the card, I'm just like, oh, I like this list. It's just, I want to like the card. I think the effect is really, really good, and I love the way it's been doing. And when I saw it in Discord, I was like, I have to try it. And actually, I've been surprisingly happy with the card in the current metagame. Like, I've had a lot of awesome pulls that have won me the game from the opponent's
hand. I've hit Dracula multiple times, right? Like, the card is just good. There's no way the lowest card power card in an opponent's hand should be 12, but sometimes it is. And, like, it's a crazy good card. I mean, Dakin is extraordinarily underrated. Like, ridiculously underrated.
In Discord, it is. I mean, people don't realize that if they print a raw 3/8,
it's we would a raw probably 3/8. Be playing
it.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what it is in Discord.
Mean, look, Kali it's literally is raw often 3/8. A 2/10, right? Like we just talked about how good Collector was. It's a 2/10 or a 2/8. Like these cards, yeah.
Yeah, it's just because it's not written on the card, but when he discards Wolverine, it's 2/8. Like, when he discards Swarm, it's 2/10.
Cards, and Blade makes all of this so easy. I think this is so also notable. If you want to beat if you want to beat Loki and you don't want to play Cerebro 3, this usually beats the crap out of opposing Lokis. There's very little they can do to this.
It's really good against Loki. I mean, they can early Loki and then get the discard going, but if you're sneaky enough, it's so okay. There's one thing in the metagame that's really annoying for this deck. There's kind of a lot of Cosmos lately. Loki's playing Cosmo. And the second thing is you have to be pretty smart against Wave. Like if you recognize a high evolutionary package or if you recognize a move package, you have to be aware that Wave can come down on turn 5 because that can be the difference between a win and a loss. Like if you're afraid of Wave, just dump those swarms like an idiot. Like it's okay. Like, don't get all the value. A lot of the time, this deck has plenty enough points that you don't need that extra tree.
So, also notable, like you're gonna be okay. This deck is really, really strong against Alioth because Dracula is sitting there being like, I'm going to be 20 power. I don't actually care. Yeah.
Dracula and Mobius do not care about Alioth. Dakin doesn't care about Alioth. It can be a problem Galactus, but I feel like people are completely underestimating this deck against Galactus because once you discarded Swarm once, you're really flexible against Galactus. I mean, this deck can mount 15. Like from turn 4 is difficult. Like if your opponent goes Wave on 3, that's going to be a difficult Galactus. But if they go Electro, your turn 5 can be 15 points. Like your turn 5 can be MODOK double Swarm and that Galactus never goes
off. I think this is our number one deck as of right now. It beats Cerebro 5. It just does.
Okay, like, I think Cerebro 5 might be better,
but I think a lot of Cerebro 5's powers, people don't know what the hell they're playing against right now.
Yeah, okay, I like this. And also, if you've never played either decks, you're going to be much better at Dracula than you are at Cerebro 5 early on, and that has to account for something.
there's also like, some like reasonably high-level play with this, right? Like figuring out when and where to drop your swarms. Sometimes you want to drop Apocalypse and not America, and knowing when you want to do that is important. Like, if they've basically given up that Dracula lane, and you can tell, like, you should be dropping that Apocalypse that's, like, 16 power. Like, it just... Yeah. Like,
It's pretty big.
Like, this is the best that discard has ever been in the meta. At least in... since global release.
I mean, when we're saying Discord, we're saying Discord Dracula, right? Because Ella Tribunal was pretty great last week, and then Alioth released, and the deck between Alioth and everyone
just decided to run Cosmo. I think the deck is dead. I don't even have it on the list. I just think it killed it.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't put it on the list. Like, I think at this point, Ella Tribunal is happy if it's top 15. I think it's generous to put in the top 15 in the card
deck right now, which sucks because it's one of my favorite decks. But all right, I have two good card stature lists. We're talking about the archetype, but I like talking about multiple lists. We've got the standard one. This deck still has a stupid 65% win rate, and my brain cannot process how. And then I've got a Kraken Nulls version, which I'll leave on the screen for our viewers because you should be familiar with the original.
I really like this version. I don't understand why this deck doesn't have the new Black Cat, to be honest, but I still like it.
It's why it's hard to fit all the cards.
But yeah, I agree. Like, I think in recent memories, it's probably the archetype that has been hit the most. Like, we have multiple Darkoak nerfs, Rockslide Change, Zabu nerf,
Spider-Ham nerf, Stature and Black Bolt.
Stature and Black Bolt.
Captain Marvel and the other version. I mean, it's
just a ton, but Captain Marvel in the other version. I mean, there's just...
Yeah.
Legion was played in this Black deck Bolt at some Stature point as well. Better. But yeah, and it just stays in. And I think whenever... at this point, I feel like whenever someone says good cards is not good enough, it's probably more on them than on the deck. I mean, this deck has come back from so many changes that it's really hard to say there's not one good card deck available somewhere, but it's getting increasingly harder to find
them. I could not agree more. Also notable, I think this loses to Loki pretty hard.
I mean, so yeah, that's Loki's the biggest really, problem really with the deck.
Good cards. Like, this is good against everything, including Galactus. Like, if you see that they're going to Galactus, you just drop your damn Darkhawk early and call it a day.
Yeah, and if you really want to hate Galactus, change Shadow King, put Cosmo.
Loki is a problem. So, okay, this is better than Cerebro 3. I think it's also better than Deadpool Destroy, right?
Yeah, I think I like it. Like, it's our fifth deck, putting it in the middle.
Five right now. Okay, good. Good stuff. Darkhawk is now number 3 after discard and Cerebro 5. Okay, next up we have Inchinaut. So, like, is this better than Deadpool Destroy? We're at this point.
Okay.
This is like Loki food. Loki sees this card and is just so happy. Because they're either going to screw up your magic and beat you, or they're just going to steal your, like, Infinaut and Hulk and giggle.
This is actually what I did, like, today. This is how I did the quest. But I think, and there's another thing about the deck is also, like, Shadow King hurts this so hard. Like, the Sunspot, the Nebula, the Cyclops, there's a lot of things that Shadow King, that this deck doesn't like with Shadow King. Think like my brain wants to say it's a top 10 deck based on numbers, but I think if we live in a universe where everybody plays perfectly and we just optimize everything about our decks, it's probably not top 10. I just think this world doesn't exist. So the question is, do we go into that world, or do we stay in the real world where people make mistakes and they give you opportunities? So, okay. And then this deck,
it's better than Cerebro 3 world. Is it better than Deadpool Destroy? Because, like, the same thing, everything you just said can also be said about Deadpool Destroy. Except Deadpool Destroy doesn't fold to Loki.
Yeah, but he folds to armor.
Loki, maybe.
Which one close. Is more popular?
Fair. This is mid against Galactus. It's okay against Galactus. You have to
Cosmo. You get Cosmo. Like, the idea against Galactus is you get... Well, you have Sunspot, Nebula on the lane, and then you Cosmo. And the idea is on turn six... Well, on the last turn, just refrain from playing. They're going to Alioth you, and you're just going to win if you pass.
Oh, that's just rough. All right, fine. Better. Let's go above Deadpool Destroy. But are we obviously putting it ahead of Darkhawk Good Stuff?
That's okay. I'll agree to this. I just think
Darkhawk Good Stuff is more versatile. Like, this deck was number three last time. I just don't think it is anymore. I think the meta adjusted. All right. We have trash decks. I think trash is going to be last, but I just wanted to talk about the archetype because I think it's decent now. This is safety's version, and I'm excited to just have on our screen on Marvel Snap Zone, safety is trash. It is, isn't it?
It's very satisfying.
You know, he's just rolling his eyes somewhere. Doesn't even know why. We've got safety is trash, and then I built this Ravonna version. Oh, no, this is safety's Ravonna version. I have my own Ravonna version, and Ravonna is trash. I think these are good decks. I think that, like, they're good against Loki and they're good against Galactus, so they're decent.
I think they're good against Galactus.
I'm not beating Loki with it. They just Loki doesn't have space to do anything.
I agree, but if you do that in Conquest and the Loki player is smart, they just pass
that's
Loki.
That's right.
And then they have space. In Conquest, it works. And on the ladder, you can abuse them.
Am I nuts, or should this just beat Cerebro 3? Like, what the hell does Cerebro 3 do if they have a Hood and Hobgoblin?
Yeah, this is really good against Cerebro, but, I mean, the question is, which deck do you want to beat? Like, Cerebro is better if the world is just Loki. Junk is better if the world is everything is Galactus. And currently, if we look at the numbers, I think there's more Galactus than Loki. Okay. So Junk is probably better than Cerebro.
Let's toss Junk into the... Like, Junk wasn't going to make it, right? Like, Junk is here as like, hey, this has been trashed here forever, and it's worth looking at now. And that's a step up. Also, a curve of Ravonna on 3 into Hobgoblin on 4 is phenomenal. It's so good. It's so good.
I need to try that. I didn't even pick up Ravonna yet because I just didn't.
My win rate Ravonna is kind of nutty right now. I'll have to pull it up at some point. But, like, card is good. I don't get it. But, okay. All right, let's keep going. Okay. Lockjaw Evo is next. This is better than Inchidon.
I think so. I think, like, something that a lot of people are underestimating is there's less of Shang-Chi. Because at some point, people understood that Armor and Cosmo are going to beat you on Shang-Chi. Shadow King is now a pretty decent option. And also, over the summer, the game has gone to cards that were, like, 6 to 8 power with solid abilities rather than huge stuff that just gets blown up by Shang-Chi. And if you remove Shang-Chi from the game, Lockjaw is incredible.
Also a huge buff, Spider-Ham at 1, because you can do that nonsense where you're just like Lockjaw and Ham on 4.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's not as good as before, because now, unless your opponent plays the pig for some reason, Spider-Ham is only good once. The thing is, before, like when he was a 2... Spider-Ham was rarely played. Like, you would just slam it on 2 for some reason. Now, at least, you only play it once in the game, but you can play it whatever turn you want. I'm not sure we should still play the Evolve version since the change
I've to liked Hulk, it. To it's be nice to just have something like, else big.
But
there's only one other big card. I mean,
there are
other big
cards in the game. There are cards.
Yeah, and I'd rather Gianto? Have like the Risk of Hulk.
Personally, I like Doom. I like Vision Doom.
Look, I love Odin, package, but I haven't liked Doom. Because I don't like Doom and Dracula in the same deck. I don't want to have to play Doom on the last turn. See, I always have Dracula.
Oh, I don't have Dracula in that deck then.
So I want to play on five. Okay. That's really good. If I don't see my Jane, and Dracula is my backup plan on five.
That's fair.
That's fair.
That's okay, why I play either Vision. Way. But I guess we just have the same idea.
We're literally talking about cards doing the exact same thing for the exact same reasons.
Yes, I think it's neck and neck with Discord Dracula. Yeah, so
let's put it's
fighting for that spot.
I'm going to keep discard above it for the time being because Loki likes taking this deck. Both decks should beat Galactus, but the other deck is better into Loki. Discard is better into Loki.
Well, the difference is Discord is better into Loki, but Lockjaw is much better into Loki.
I see Wave beats Lockjaw sometimes when you have all those zeros in hands that you need to get out.
Yes. Like if you Jane Foster on five and they wave you, sometimes it's annoying. But overall, if you're playing against a Wave deck and they don't have Shang-Chi in their deck, and you know that, you just go stupid nuts and you just don't care about anything and you end up with 80 points or drop.
Right, you just can...
No, because Alioth, if you have priority, Alioth doesn't work. Because it's not the card that you play.
But I just give up that Lockjaw.
Behind Lockjaw.
Like, I'm not competing for Lockjaw. I'm competing for two other lanes. And one of those other lanes has to be...
Oh, but I'm talking about...
Yeah,
oh, you mean playing Alioth like, on another lane?
I almost never compete for the Lockjaw lane unless I have Storm. Yeah.
That's where you want to
do... But even then, like, that kind of thing doesn't usually stress
stuff
me
like
out,
that,
though, like, right? Like, I can usually go big enough. Like, my other stuff has grown so that's not that much... Like, I think it's a closer match than you're saying. Either... I would put this at number two right now.
Sure, I mean, I don't mind if it's before or after Discord Dracula. Just know that Dracula is a really good card.
More.
That's the thing I'm getting from.
Right. Move Alioth. So this is top three for me. This deck is insane.
I mean, I would honestly put it top three and not in the wild cards.
I was there too, top three and then I the whole saw its 10. Play rate, and its play rate was low, so I kept it here.
The play rate is extremely low. I mean, if you look at last tier list, it's in the silent performers.
I checked everywhere, too. I was like, someone has to be playing this. Why is no one playing this? This is crazy good.
Exactly. Like, honestly, if you're not going to get Ravonna because you don't have the tokens or you have your own reasons and you're still looking for something different, I would highly recommend.
So this is our number one right now, right? All right.
If we're in the
wild
cards. Right
now, where we are. So, yeah, this is just beats the poopy out of discard usually. So, also, if you're having trouble into the meta, like, it's good against everything but Loki, but Arrow is so good.
I mean, especially in the week where Alioth brought back Galactus, there are not a lot of things that are more satisfying than Arrow Galactus, I have to say. It's just another way to win a game. But when your opponent snaps you and you counter snap and you Iro the Galactus and they leave, I mean, we talked about the frustrating things in the past. This is a very satisfying thing to do in normal stuff.
That's why I didn't hate Galactus until they nerfed Arrow. Then they should have nerfed Arrow. I'm not saying they shouldn't have. She was way too good. All right. Another one that I think has to be in there, Iron Patriot. And I have two versions. I posted the Ravonna version so you could see it. But, like, this version has a 62% win rate even now. And, like, it's running Cyclops, which is almost certainly wrong.
I'll be honest. I have not played or faced Iron Patriot in a very long time. And I agree it's surprising. It's not surprising I don't play it. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly like the deck. But I'm surprised I haven't faced it because it's in that alley of decks which are simple enough to win games and strong enough to get away with a lot of things. But I guess it's just amongst those archetypes that got blown away by Loki and these kind of decks where people
Like, I've been beating the crap out of everything. Like, so, okay. So 2 days ago, and I haven't talked about this yet, unless by this time this release, I decide to do the video I've been planning. I was like, I'd never enjoyed this deck. I didn't really like playing it, even if I like Patriot. So I didn't play a whole ton of it. A couple days ago, I was like, I bet you that's still good. Why is -1 power to absorbment? And I get that it's -3 power overall, make the deck unplayable. Because like, unless Loki sees the exact right cards, you're bigger, right? Like, unless it sees Forge, Brood, and Absorbing Man, it doesn't matter what it sees. Like, you're making your stuff bigger. So, like, why is this bad now? So I just started playing the classic version. And I was running, like, 2 cards different from this list. I don't know. I was running something else instead of Cyclops, and I was running Legion instead of Blue Marvel. Or Iron Man, whatever. I was running something. And then I just rolled off all these wins against Loki. And once I knew what Galactus was doing, I could beat Galactus pretty well. And, like, this deck doesn't care about Wave. And I was like, why did people stop playing this? So when Ravonna came out, I started playing this version. That's just the Sarah version. And, like, I'm not having really bad matchups. Like,
I'll try it. I still want Blue Marvel in this deck. Blue Marvel's fine, but I'll try it.
It's just, so I ran out of space, right? Like, I'm not even sure Ravonna's necessary, I'm going to be completely honest. I've liked her because if I don't see my combos, right? Like, let's say I have Forge, but Brood or Absorbment, I can Ravonna on 3. And then on 4, if I see Forge, I can Forge and Mr. Sinister or Forge and Brood on 4. And that's been great. And then, like, I can Absorbing Man on 5, and then on 6, I can Patriot Mystique. And if I saw, and now I'm probably not Blue Marveling, but I can Patriot Mystique and play another card. And, like, I'm perfectly fine with that. I've Patriot Mystique on 5 just to, like, get it out of the way when I knew my opponent was going to Wave. I can spend my last turn doing Iron Man Mystique with just Ravonna out. And now, like, I didn't Surfer or anything, right? Or I dropped a Surfer earlier, but Iron Man Mystique last turn is turning my Brood Lane into a monster. Like, there's a lot of play. There's a lot of play to this. And if you Ravonna, Sarah, and your Patriot Mystique cost 1.
I understand.
Like, yeah, pretty good. So it's
pretty okay.
I mean, where do we put it? I think I have it below. Good. Sorry.
Well, just to be honest, I mean, I have barely played the deck, so I don't really know.
I think it's around Cerebro 5. Before Cerebro 5. Let's say after Cerebro 5, since it's just me. So, like, I'm not a big sample size, right? So, like, let's make it number 5 for now. Is that fair?
Sure. That sounds fair. I mean, the decks past it's that just, are...
Like, -1 to Absorbing Man and a shiny new toy, and everyone's just like, let's never play that again, breaks my brain.
I think Cosmo hurts the deck a lot, but I also think people are overreacting a little bit to it. I mean, it's good. Like, Cosmo on the right lane is going to hurt this deck a ton. But it's still, like, most of the time, it's still a 50-50, and your opponent doesn't always have Cosmo. It's just when you get hit by Cosmo, you remember it more than your last 5 losses. Your last 5 wins.
All right, let's keep it going. I think the time has passed this deck. Sarah control time. Unless you're farming bots, I think that we're past this being a T1 deck.
Oh, tier 1? Yeah, we're past it being a tier 1 deck. I mean, it was gone until the OTA. Shadow King gave it hope, but for now, I don't think it's...
Galactus just feeds on this. And so does Wave. So, like,
yes.
Is it better than Junk?
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Once we're past 5 on this part of the list, we can sort of just chunk it out. So is it better than Deadpool Destroy is the only thing I care about? I don't think so.
I would go with Deadpool Destroyer, honestly. Right. Like,
then Sarah Surfer. Does Surfer fall from 2 to off the list? Maybe.
It's incredibly not played. And this is one of the decks that seeing more Cosmo, Galactus, the metagame is very, very bad for Surfer right now.
It's better than regular Sarah.
It's, yeah, I think it's like it.
All right, we're adding some crappy decks. And this is Thanos Alioth. This doesn't make the list either, right?
I don't even
it's
know
what it is. It's just your regular Thanos. Okay. Alioth control. It's the lane lock.
That it's Alioth Thanos control.
Is it good?
Is it? Yeah, it's not in the top. I don't think it's bad. I think there are way too many tech cards. Sure. I think like Shang-Chi can go and be Angela or Shadow King.
Even then, it's not like
stuff like that.
Making the top.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're really good at the game and you know everything your opponent is about to do and you're able to counter it and everything. But I think if we're on similar level of play, similar information, it's not top 10. You have to outplay your opponent.
Not even worth putting in anywhere close to the top 5 of where we are, which means we're on the other 5. Let's see if all 5 of these actually make it above the other 5. I would be surprised if they do. Starting with...
if I have a word in this, they don't.
See, there's one that doesn't, for sure. That's our last one, I think, to talk about. Evo Lockdown. I have 2 versions. Okay. I mostly just want to show you my version because I feel unbeatable when I play it. This is what I've been playing. It's just for anyone listening, not viewing. It's running Storm and Claw instead of some of the usual cards. Instead of Doom and Cosmo, it runs Storm and Claw. And I've had, like, no problems winning with it against freaking everything.
I think Evolve Doomwave is very, very good. I think cutting Dr. Doom is maybe a little too much. But yeah, Claw is really good. I personally just like the flexibility of Doom over the one of Claw. But yeah,
so otherwise, my logic was when I was playing this, the first version is the W version, the classic version that's running Doom and Hulk. You can throw Alioth in there over whatever the hell you decide to throw Alioth in over, honestly. My problem was if I didn't see Wave, I didn't have a play I liked on 5 until I had a Claw. And on turn 6, I found myself either Hulking or Alioth-ing 80% of the time. So, like, I didn't super need Doom.
I understand. Like, I mostly understand the I don't have Wave on 5, which I think Sunspot, Cyclops, and all these cards can kind of help mitigate. But otherwise, yeah. Like, I can understand the logic. I still think Doom should be in the list, but
either
I'm
way.
Not
This is our number one deck right now. Over Move Alioth?
Out of everything we've seen, yes. I really like Move Alioth, but I think until we get a bigger sample size...
call this Evolve Doomwave is our new number one. All right, let's keep going. We're now on Galactus. So, okay, this is just a random sample of Galactus. I picked the most generic Galactus I could find. Yeah, look,
this is great. Great Galactus.
There's only so many ways to build it. Like, Snow Guard's one of the top 10 cards in the game right now, just for the record. Where does this go? Yes, but
it goes on
where
the ladder.
Does it go on our list? It's not better than Evolve Doomwave or Move Alioth, right? Deck.
No, I think ultimately it's going to fall somewhere around 5 or 6.
Is it above discard?
I think it is, for now. I think the metagame makes it that it is, but the thing is, Galactus is going to be high now, but I don't think it can go much higher. I think Galactus is going to go down as time passes.
So let's knock it down a couple pegs. For now, let's be a little long-sighted instead of short-sighted. Let's put it behind discard, but above Lockjaw.
Okay.
I just love discard. Like, I also, since this is the only time discard's ever going to be this high, I would like it to be reasonably high so it can have its moment in the sun.
Let's go. Right. Samurai.
Loki, let's number go Samurai. One. Yes. Look, it's just the best thing to do right now. Yes. It feels very difficult right now to play against a very good player with Loki.
Ever since, I mean, not necessarily this particular list, like, you can play differently, but I think the important card for Loki, I think, is Cosmo. Cosmo has made the deck from, oh, it's a nice gimmick, to, oh my god, it's so good. Like, it's just, so, like, yeah. You can discuss the three cards after Loki, but the nine, yeah. So the top row and the three on the left on the bottom row.
So this is the Lambie version. I spent, I don't know, I don't even like Loki. I just think it's part of my job since I promote decks to like play the best decks. You know what I mean? So like I play a lot of jank and like in Conquest, I refuse to on Gold or Infinity refuse to play meta decks. I think it's boring and everyone else is playing meta decks. So you're still testing meta decks, right? But I think that it's my responsibility. So I spent, I don't know, however long it's been since Loki came out, testing between Devil Dinosaur, Legion, and Nick Fury. And when I saw that Lambie just said, oh, I'll just run Legion and Devil Dino, I was like, oh, I'm an idiot. Like, why did I not just put both in? Like, it's so obvious once you see it. But, like...
I hate Devil
Dino. So Devil Dino I think it's completely useless, has been a way to... I mean, it's here for one really simple reason for me. It beats Galactus. Like, it gives me a second way to beat Galactus. If they
beat Galactus?
Or Electro, right? And I've already Cosmoed somewhere because I needed to Cosmo. I know where they're going to Galactus at that point, and Devil Dino wins. And, like, it's enough of the meta that Devil Dino wins. And sometimes you just play it, but usually it's a nonsense card that you don't care about, right? But, like, since you're seeing so much Galactus, Devil Dino is great. And if not, then he gets Loki'd away or he sits in your hand, right? Like, it doesn't matter. It's not a relevant card otherwise.
Sure.
That's the part of the reason I like Legion and Devil Dino here is I'm almost never playing my own cards, like unless outside of specific matchups, by turn five. So if I am playing my own cards, it's because I need something specific. And these offer that something specific. Right. Yeah. Okay. This is the deck you don't like. I have two versions. I have this version and the Lambie version. The Lambie version is a little more expensive. This.
You can pick any version you want. To me, this is just like the second one is just a bad Galactus deck. And the first one is just, I mean, Aliot has brought it back. And I think the only reason we're playing it is because people don't want to play pure Galactus. But in a world where people are just trying to win, this deck never exists.
I think that the Odin on Alioth, Odin on Doom nonsense still just wins games a snap.
Yeah, I agree. It wins games a snap.
I think it wins games a snap because your opponent can only play around so many things. Look.
I don't know. Maybe he's just me, like, having a big problem with the deck and hating it as hard as I can, but I don't know. I don't understand the point of having this deck in the metagame.
As we talk about it,
deck in it
as I'm arguing for it. It would be number nine for me right now. So here, ready? It's Loki one, evolve Doom Wave two, move Alioth is three, discard is four, Galactus is five. I don't think it's better than evolved Lockjaw, right? Evolved Lockjaw just beats this in the face. I don't think it's better than Cerebro 5, and I think it's in the general vicinity of Patriot. I think Patriot's better, it just doesn't have the sample size. I think it's better than Darkhawk good stuff right now. Neither of these are. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You can put it at 9. Yeah. Around 0.
Yeah. I think Cerebro 5 is a little better, but like it's in the same vicinity, right? Like Cerebro 5 is better just because like if you put a bunch of Dooms out, who cares? I've got a bunch of 5s already. And if you like try and Galactus, I've got 2 5s there and your Galactus doesn't work. All right.
Okay. Shuri.
I hate Shuri. Shuri and Kitty Shuri. It's a top 3 deck, right?
I hate
it's. I would like it to go away. I wish, like, Shuri is one of those cards I just kind of wish didn't exist in the game.
I'm happy that it exists because I think it's a necessity for the game. But I hate it that over the summer they nerfed every single good deck except Shuri. Like, I think Shuri should be treated just like Galactus. Shuri should be really good when we don't have a counter for it. Shuri should not be one of the best decks when the only thing you have to do is.
So is this the number 4 deck right now? So Loki 1, Doomwave 2, move Alioth, and then I think it's better than discard.
It's behind. Like, it's unfortunate.
Is it better than move Alioth?
I hate it. I hate that. Is it better than move Alioth?
Maybe.
I think once you learned both decks, move Alioth is better.
Look, I don't want Shuri to be higher, so we're not going to play. It's probably one spot higher, but let's leave it one lower.
Yes.
And also, so like Shuri Kitty, if you're seeing any wave, is a bad deck.
Yes, I don't understand why Shuri Kitty is that popular when Shuri Sauron has always been a better deck and weaker to less cards. Okay. I think it's Shang-Chi Cope. Someone said, but Shuri Kitty is better against Shang-Chi, and people are like, oh my god, the only weakness to Shuri is Shang-Chi.
Really high variance. So
we're gonna fix that one, and the deck is unbeatable. It's just you opened auto weaknesses by. But like the counter to Shang-Chi, we already have it. It's called armor.
You don't have to, look, I'm on your side completely here. And I am friends with a lot of that group of players that push the Shuri Kitty. I love Browde. I talk to Cam all the time. I talk to W all the time. These are people I really both like and respect. And I think that this is the first time they've just been like straight up dead wrong. Fair.
Nah, this
is fine. This is the one where I don't like get where they're coming from. Fair. Like usually, if I disagree with them, I'm like, okay, but like I get what you're coming from, and like this makes sense in the like meta you're playing and seeing, and like even if I disagree or I think you're overlooking things, I can see it. This one, I'm just like, but like the other deck is right there.
Yeah. Like honestly, I have tried both decks for
same thing,
content reasons. Not at 1 second ever I've thought Kitty was better than Sauron. There wasn't 1 second where I doubted. So I'm happy to discuss it if people have arguments and stuff like this, but I think we just took one problem and made it several problems. And I don't know we're still discussing
that. That is it. We have a top 10. Our top 10. All right, you're right. We did good here. Our top 10 are, let's go from the bottom to the top. Your favorite deck, Ramp, in number 10.
Did we discuss all the decks? And all right, it's 10. You know what? It's 10.
We managed to make this list without Dark Rock Good Stuff, and I literally feel guilty. Want to kick off Ramp for Dark Rock Good Stuff? Done.
Oh, please. Oh my god! You said you want to kick off. You want to kick out Ramp
and Dark Rock Good Stuff has to be here.
Whatever you want,
just it has to be here. There's too many varieties of it that, like, in 3 days we're gonna figure out that one is busted and it'll be right back to the top of the meta. Number 9 is Patriot Brood Me, which disappeared for reasons I'll never be fully clear on.
Because I think. That's my explanation. This is no science. I think it's because it's among those decks that are pick me up because I'm simple to understand and I'm going to give you immediate results. And this one got nerfed and Shuri didn't.
That's fair.
And people just went for Shuri.
There's a mental aspect to nerfs and buffs, right? The Invisible Woman is always my favorite evidence of this, where she is fundamentally the same card as a 2-2 and a 2-3, but when she was buffed, everyone remembered she existed and so played her.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, look at Collector. People are still going to tell you that it was nerfed. Cool. It was nerfed. Yes, like, unarguably, it is weaker now than it was in the past.
Yeah.
Does it change anything?
There's some extremely small percentage of games that you will lose because there's negative 2 on Collector. Just like when Sarah went from 5-5 to 5-4, the next day I lost a game by that one power, and I was like, ah, you got me. Second dinner, whatever. All right. Number 8 is Cerebro 5, which I would not be shocked if we did this in a week. Was like the Patriot Broodme deck last time, where like it's just way higher once we know more about it.
Yes, I think for the first time, it's one of those Cerebro decks which is not completely meta dependent.
It also doesn't die to bad locations, so, which is nice, right? Like if you see a Muir Island, you can just say, "All right, I'm not going to play Cerebro. Yeah. My Cerebro in that location is going to be Muir Island." And then I'll try and win another location with some Alioth-ish nonsense. Just remember, getting 10 to 15 power in a lane relatively early is hard to be. It's hard for your opponent to be ahead there going into turn 5-6. And then Alioth just wins the game. All right. Number 7 is Lockjaw / Evolved Lockjaw.
Yeah, I like it there. I mean, the deck is still good, still a great Marvel Snap deck, especially when there's no Shang-Chi, but it's known, we know how to beat it, we know what we're supposed to do against it.
In my head, that's the spot, like number 7 is around the same spot, like that power level, that deck, that style is the same thing as Destroy, except Armor is President. It's the same thing as I'm not going to be able to say this, so I'm just going to say Sheenot. Yes? Like, they're all the same idea, where it's just like, I do big dumb thing, can you stop big dumb thing?
Kind of, yeah.
Number 6, like, and it makes me so happy that this isn't top 5, number 6 is Galactus.
I think it's fair for Galactus, and I think it's good for Galactus, because if Galactus was top 3, that means they probably would have to nerf it, because the devs have been very clear about the fact Galactus should never be dominant again. That's not where they want the card. So I think it's great. I think it's a great spot for Galactus. I think that's where we want the card to be.
But I wonder if the design for Alioth came from them going, okay, so let's say you get Galactus off. We want you to win when you get Galactus off. We want the game to basically be over. You have to do all this work right now to get Galactus off. So if you can do it, you win the game of Marvel Snap. I bet you that's where Alioth's design came from. Yeah, that's my guess.
Oh, you think?
All right. Okay. Yeah, like, just because it's just...
Why not?
Yeah, that's my working guess. And I would also guess that the design started to happen around the Galactus nerf. Number 5, discard, and the highest it will ever be on these rankings unless they release some more busted discard cards. Because that's like super high for discard. Welcome to the best discard meta the game has ever seen. Number 4, and I wish it were number 5, I wish it were number 30, is Shuri. It probably deserves to be number 3, but screw Shuri.
Yes, this is a very biased ranking where we decide.
Look, your Marvel Snap, your Marvel Snap Zones sucks. Head writer. This is Marvel Snap Zones YouTube / podcatchers, and this is Marvel Snap Zones official podcast. We're in charge. Shuri's number 4.
Exactly. If you want Shuri to be ranked higher in this list, there's no problem. Just make a fun deck with it,
and we'll reconsider anything the application that I have to think Shuri for. At all. All right, and that's like, hey, if you enjoy Shuri, I'm not saying you're a bad person, right? Like, go enjoy your Shuri deck. Yeah, but like...
No, I mean, everyone enjoys whatever they want.
All right, number 3 is move Alioth, because that deck is completely sick. You can call it the Move Legion deck. Like, the deck basically said, but what if I added Wave and Alioth instead of Legion? It took out Kitty and added Wave, and then it said, well, if I'm running Wave, I should also run Alioth, and then took out Legion. Yeah, sick deck.
And it's doing great.
It turns out a bunch of really powerful early game stats are good.
Yeah, and I think something a lot of people underestimated is the change to Snowguard kind of made Legion almost as bad as is nerfed it. Losing one power, I think, had less effect on the card than Snowguard actually becoming playable. I've had opponents
make all three locations Limbo and just be like, haha, and I just drop a bird and move on with my life. Okay, I said this, I don't remember who I said this to the other day. If you told me that I could have a 1-2 that made 2/2/3s and none of them had any abilities, I'd play that card. Just for my curve, right?
Yeah.
Instead, you're giving me a 1-2 that makes 2/2/3s and both 2/3s are useful and one is like busted. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here for it. Number two is Evolve Doomwave, which is a fantastic deck. Honestly, not the hardest thing in the world to play either, but more interesting than Shuri.
Yeah, I mean, it's that kind of deck that just found its groove, and it's doing it really well, and until we find a way to counter it, or to just be good.
My working assumption is in a week Mobius comes out and number two and three become number one and two. Move Alioth and Evolve Doomwave become the two best decks. I just think that.
Oh. So you think Mobius is going to make Wave better?
So my working theory is the game is going to Zabu itself, where it becomes, do you have Mobius? And, if your opponent has Mobius, fine, you just drop Alioth or Doom like you always would, right? Nothing has changed. You both Mobiused. Enjoy yourself. But if your opponent doesn't have Mobius and you do, you now have, Doom and Silk or Alioth and Silk. And, maybe they can do something else that's powerful, too. But if they can't make their stuff cheaper, then I'm not sure how. And our number one deck is Loki, and I don't expect Loki to fall out of the top five, but I do expect Loki to fall off its perch when Mobius comes out. It's just the negative, and people keep arguing that it's the zero that makes it so powerful. I'm going to tell you straight up, it's not the zeros I care about with Loki. They're like, I got a zero snow guard. It's like, who cares? It's nice, right? You'll play it, but that's not why Loki is powerful. It's the negative one. It's every card one cheaper is not a balanced system, which is why cards cost what they do, right? So, saying every card is one cheaper and then saying every card cannot be one cheaper is perfectly fine. I think then Loki is still very good, but not broken.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right.
I'm fine with that.
That ends our top 10. Again, if you want to see it, check the show notes. They will be there. We are on to Variant of the Week, and we both agreed. We decided to do Loki because, this is a super Loki episode, right? We both picked the same variant. Yeah. Why do you like the Pantheon, the one we get at the end of the month, Loki, best?
Because I looked at all of them, and this one is so nice. I don't know. I just feel like there are two kinds of Loki in my mind. There's the playful kind of a little bit of not a fairy, but a trickster, the trickster. And there's the literally dangerous guy that could kill you. And I don't know. I feel I closer to the second
this
one.
Loki, I think, for the exact same reasons. It feels right. It feels most Loki, where this is who you want Loki to be. My favorite Loki in the comics is Kid Loki from A Journey into Mystery and Young Avengers run, but there is no art for that, so this is my favorite until they release that. Yeah. So all right, we are now hitting the absolute home stretch. Follow Den_CCG on Twitter. Tell people why you should follow. They should follow you, Den.
I share decks every day, so if you're a little low on imagination and you want to try something new, my Twitter is probably a good place to start. And second thing is, I'm not gonna tell you that decks are good if they're not, and I'm not gonna tell you that decks aren't good if they actually are. I try to stick to what the numbers are telling
outside me. Outside of this podcast.
Usually, my... Mm-hmm. Yes, like, but when I'm biased, mm-hmm. I literally start by saying, hey, I'm going to be biased. So I'm not saying I never is. I'm just saying I put a disclaimer on it.
I'm going to find a different thing to say for as long as I can, because I don't have to keep complimenting you the same way. One of my favorite things about you and about following your content is when you interact with people and your willingness to be totally honest with them. That complete honesty is often really refreshing in a game where, like, if anyone who's listening to this podcast, we've had half the community on this podcast at this point. I really appreciate that you're willing to just say, hey, I don't agree with that. Let's talk about why, instead of, like, just pretending to agree with people. Because a lot of the community, who are wonderful people, are very kind and very scared of stepping on each other's toes. Disagreement doesn't have to mean disrespect, and I think it raises the discourse the way you treat disagreement on a regular basis. So if you appreciate honesty and learning about the game and not having ideas challenged, you listen to this episode, right? It would be like, I like this card here, I like that card here, and then we talk about why, and we don't have to agree, right? We just see perspectives. And that is what Den's content does for the community, and I think that's extremely valuable. Absolutely. So make sure you follow him on Twitter at Den_CCG, and if you are not reading his stuff on Marvel Snap Zone particularly, I mean, not even particularly, it's just the most regular thing. The tier lists shape the meta. They reflect the meta, and then they in turn further shape the meta. So you should be reading them.
Yeah. But you can also listen to podcasts.
All right. All right. Remember to follow Den. Remember to find us on Marvel Snap Zone, the YouTube, and the Discord. And check us out at Snap Judgments Pod on YouTube, as my wife decides to drop things right at the end of the episode. We will see you all next week for more... It's Mobius M. Mobius, because that is the dumbest name in the world. Mobius M. Mobius Week. Thank you so much for watching.
This one is going to be so difficult.
Day, evening, morning. It's very late here. I'm going to let Den go to sleep. Peace. And as Roy would say, keep on snapping. I'm not snapping at you. Bye.